Let's read together 2 Samuel chapter 9. In this chapter, we see David making good on his covenant with Jonathan by extending his kindness to Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. Here we have a wonderful picture of salvation by grace. 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Now David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "At your service." Then the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather. And you shall eat bread at my table continually." Then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant, that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do." "As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons." Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. For he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 9, with some background notes. We've seen in our studies of 2 Samuel that David, in establishing and expanding his kingdom, first conquered Jerusalem and made it his new, well-defended capital city. Then he made Jerusalem the religious center of the nation as well, by bringing the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem and placing it in a special tent where it would remain until the temple was built. In chapter 8, we saw David expanding and solidifying the kingdom by conquering and subduing all of the surrounding enemy countries, including the Arameans in the far north, so that Israel controlled all of the land from Egypt in the south to the Euphrates in the north. All of this land had been given to Abraham, remember, and his descendants under the Abrahamic covenant. Now here in 2 Samuel chapter 9, David remembers the covenant that he made with his good friend Jonathan, the son of Saul. In loyalty to Jonathan, David is honoring that covenant. A number of years have gone by, because we see in verse 12 that Mephibosheth already has a young son. And we know from 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, that Mephibosheth was 5 years old when his father Jonathan was killed along with King Saul. So even though a number of years have passed since the death of Jonathan, and the dynasty of Saul has been completely removed, David will now honor his covenant that he made with Jonathan, because David is now in a position of power to make good on his promises. Ziba, who seems to have been the chief steward of Saul's estate, informed David of the whereabouts and welfare of Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. David brought Mephibosheth to the palace and overwhelmed him with loving kindness. 2 Samuel chapter 9 is one of the most heartwarming stories in the Bible, and it is a wonderful spiritual picture of God's unconditional love to us and his wonderful plan of salvation by grace. And that brings us to our doctrinal teaching points for 2 Samuel chapter 9. So doctrinal point number one, forgiveness and restoration are provided for all in salvation. Forgiveness and restoration are provided for all in salvation. Now for the sake of time, I'm going to read some excerpts from something I wrote on 2 Samuel chapter 9 several years ago. These quotes are from a Devotion for Growing Christians issue entitled Mephibosheth and Me, and can be found on our website, growingchristians.org. Quote, "The spiritual picture which God has painted for us in this chapter of His Word could be entitled Mephibosheth and Me. In it we see ourselves in the figure of Mephibosheth, the me that's been overwhelmed by the love of one greater than David, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. As a member of the deposed house of Saul, Mephibosheth deserved nothing from King David. In those days when a new dynasty came into power, the king would quickly put to death any possible rival threats to the throne. The best Mephibosheth could hope for was exile. But David not only showed mercy to Mephibosheth, he treated him as a prince and member of his own household. What a fascinating picture of the undeserved mercy and overwhelming grace that God has shown us. The fallen dynasty of Saul is a picture of fallen mankind. Man was created by God and given a kingly position in God's creation. But like Saul, man turned away from the Lord in disobedience and fell from his royal position into sin. We, like Mephibosheth, were born into a fallen dynasty. Like Mephibosheth, we were by lineage under the sentence of exile and death. And like Mephibosheth, we could do nothing to help ourselves out of our predicament. The fact that Mephibosheth was lame in both feet further adds to the picture of helplessness. Perhaps the fall which caused Mephibosheth's handicap is also intended by God to be part of the picture of our fallen state. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. The alienation and enmity that separated Mephibosheth from David because of Mephibosheth's connection with the fallen dynasty of Saul were overcome completely by David. In the same way that David reached across all the barriers that separated himself from Mephibosheth, so God has overcome all obstacles to reconcile us to Himself. He has extended His love to us in spite of the alienating barriers of enmity and hostility which we erected as members of the fallen human race. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 captures this truth precisely. "And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death." Notice that David took the initiative in searching out Mephibosheth. How characteristic of our sovereign Lord. He took the initiative and found us, not vice versa. Until He began to work in our hearts, our idea of God and our attitude towards Him were probably similar to that of Mephibosheth towards David. Someone to fear and hide from, so as to avoid confrontation. But Mephibosheth came to know and appreciate the love and kindness of the king who sought and found him. In the same way, we have come to know and experience the love and compassion of the king who came to seek and to save those who were lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. In the beautiful picture that God has given to us in this account, the covenant between David and Jonathan reminds us of the covenant of loyal love that God has made with the fallen dynasty of mankind. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God's unconditional commitment to His covenantal love, which is given to sinful man. Right after the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God covenanted to send a Redeemer to rescue fallen man. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the first promise of the coming Redeemer was given when God promised that the seed of the woman would crush Satan's head. God's loyal and steadfast love for mankind is certainly seen when He preserved the human race at the time of Noah, and again when He promised to bless all the families of the earth through the seed of Abraham. Ultimately, of course, we see God's covenantal love for man focused in the giving of His own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As Jonathan, a member of the house of Saul, was the link between David's love and Mephibosheth's need, so the Lord Jesus, a member of the human race, was the necessary link between God's love and our great need. In verse 7, we are told that all the crown properties that once belonged to Saul and his dynasty would be returned to Mephibosheth by royal decree. This is one more detail of the picture that highlights God's love for fallen man. As part of the fallen, sinful human race, We had lost everything and were under the sentence of death. But in Christ, we have regained our status of righteousness and so much more. We have been brought into the family of God and given every blessing heaven has to offer. End of quote. What a great picture of God's gracious plan of salvation. Forgiveness and restoration are provided for all in salvation. Doctrine point number two. Believing and receiving are all that is required for salvation. Believing and receiving are all that is required for salvation. Many people think that they must earn their salvation or buy their salvation. Nothing could be further from the truth. As Mephibosheth was helpless and hopeless when it came to earning David's favor, so we are helpless and hopeless when it comes to earning God's favor by our own merits. But praise the Lord, believing and receiving are all that is required for salvation. Again, a paragraph from the Devotions for Growing Christians entitled Mephibosheth and Me. Quote, Mephibosheth's attitude in response to David's discovery of him is very significant in this picture of God's salvation. Even before Mephibosheth knew what David had planned, he prostrated himself and said, "Here is your servant." He didn't try to justify himself or make excuses for his connection with Saul or throw the blame for his situation on others. In the same way, we must come before God with a dead dog attitude in order to benefit from his mercy. There is nothing much lower in the Hebrew culture than a dead dog. Many people today are unwilling to assume such a humble attitude. Their humanistic pride and arrogance keep them from experiencing the love and blessings of the king. Let us, the Mephibosheths, who are now eating at the king's table, reach out to them in love and compassion with the king's official invitation. He wants them to join us in the picture of Mephibosheth and me. End of quote. Believing and receiving are all that is required for salvation. Practical application. Praise the Lord, our crippled feet are covered forever. Praise the Lord, our crippled feet are covered forever. The end of verse 11. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. And verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. Question. As Mephibosheth sat at David's royal table, could you tell that he was crippled? Answer, no. Now his lameness was covered by the table of David's grace. You see this aspect of the spiritual picture that God has given us here? Our crippled condition because of sin has been covered by God's grace and will be remembered no more. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, that we are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Right now, our position before God is one of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ because of God's grace. Praise the Lord, our crippled feet are covered forever.